In 1 Corinthians 13:11, it says, "When I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things." The Apostle Paul is identifying a real issue here. There are many people who have grown up physically who have yet to grow in maturity. I've often said one of life's greatest tragedies would be having an aging body and a teenage brain. Jordan Peterson puts it this way: "There is nothing uglier than an old infant." The truth is, nobody matures in their character and emotions without effort. It doesn't happen naturally, it happens intentionally. There are many women who have left high school, but sadly, high school has not left them. They're still living with the same behaviors, same mindsets, and sadly reaping the same sorry harvest that they did in high school. Girls, I want to share with you three thoughts that I believe will help you graduate from childish ways and set you on a course for a blessed adulthood. Thought number one, don't be a mean girl. Wherever you have girls, you will find mean girls. But I found that aging does not change meanness. In fact, age will only make a mean girl meaner. The school gossip who slanders and reveals secrets to gain power just changes her environment when she ages. She just becomes the workplace gossip, or the mom's group gossip, or the neighborhood gossip, or heaven forbid, the church gossip. That high school queen bee who ruled ruthlessly over her vulnerable teenage subjects, deciding who was in and who was out, will continue stinging people long after her braces have been taken off and her acne clears. Sadly, mean girls are here to stay. You could even be sitting next to one right now. But our challenge is to not become one of them. Our challenge is to be the opposite of mean. Our challenge is to be women of kindness, graciousness, discretion, and virtue. Mean girls will grow up to be mean women unless, of course, they have a divine intervention. Proverbs 11:22 says this: "As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who is without discretion. Her lack of character mocks her beauty." What is the Bible saying here? You can be as beautiful and striking as a ring of gold, but if you don't have the character to back it up, your feminine beauty will be overshadowed by the ugliness of what you're attached to. What have you attached yourself to? Gossip? Do you damage others with reckless and hurtful words, revealing secrets that are not yours to tell, stirring up division and pain in the relationships around you? Do you use your status and your influence to manipulate people, to reign as queen over your domain, and with a tip of your scepter, you decide who's in and who's out? Or are you just downright mean, cruel, and merciless, delighting in other people's misfortunes? You may even be a truth teller, like many are these days, but do you deliver the truth in a way that leaves the recipient feeling uncovered, unloved, bashed, and bruised? In Proverbs 31:26, the Bible tells us what a virtuous and mature woman looks like. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Did you catch that? The law of kindness. This woman has made kindness a law for herself to live by. Kindness is not only a fruit of the Spirit, accessible to every believer, it is also the gateway to a life of genuine friendships, respect from your peers, and the blessed freedom from the drama and the torment that follows mean girls. So if you've been behaving like a mean girl, it's never too late to change, no matter how old you are. Do yourself and the world a huge favor by allowing God to reshape your life into a woman who lives not by high school mean girl tactics, but as a woman who has made kindness the law of her land. Thought number two, control your emotions. Proverbs 29:11 says this: "A fool vents all their feelings, but a wise person holds them back." The reason we are more gracious when a teenager has an emotional outburst is because we understand that they're learning to handle themselves in stressful and overwhelming circumstances. And while God's grace is always there for us, even as we age, and He's long-suffering and He will continually forgive us, people aren't like that. And if we continue to bring our teenage behaviors into our adult relationships, we will find our world and our opportunities shrinking smaller and smaller. The people around us will even start to resent us, avoid us, or even distance themselves from us altogether. When I was a new wife, I would often declare to my husband when he would challenge me to control myself during an emotional outburst, "I can't control myself. This is who I am." And one afternoon, after a particularly extreme episode of letting my emotions run wild, I was sitting in my bedroom feeling convicted over my behavior. And I remember saying out loud to God, "I am just a passionate person. I can't control myself." I was trying to excuse myself to God. But it was then that God very graciously reminded me that I was actually believing a lie about myself. Yes, He had made me passionate, but He had also put within me the seeds of self-control. The truth was, I was just choosing to overfeed the passion and then starve the self-control. Change didn't happen overnight, girls, but change did happen. And I'm happy to say that this once emotionally reckless woman has been reformed into a woman of self-control, grace, and wisdom most of the time. The solution is not to ignore our emotions. That will only lead to anxiety and a stomach ulcer. But we've got to learn to master them so we don't become mastered by them. We can express our emotions in a productive way. That means the right place, the right time, the right way, and with the right people. We can access the self-control given by God and face stress and disappointment without freaking out and letting our emotions get the better of us. Thought number three, stop blaming others for the way your life looks. Young people are famous for finding fault and blaming others, especially their parents. How many of you have said or heard this term from a teenager? "You're ruining my life." Blaming your parents, your life experiences, or the system for the way your life looks is very popular right now, especially amongst young people, but it's not productive. Look, it's easy to see why people would want to blame other people for the state of their lives. Victimhood is so tempting because it removes the burden of personal responsibility off me and puts it squarely on the shoulders of others. So then, if you're dysfunctional, unsuccessful, unhappy, or broke, then it must be somebody else's fault. In a conversation I was privileged to have with Dennis Prager, he shared with me an experience he had in his work with addicted men. He shared with me that their lives started to change for the better and sobriety became possible when they stopped blaming their parents for the way their lives looked. The reality may indeed be that your parents or the circumstances you were raised in did not give you the best setup. But while we can't change the past, we can take responsibility for our future. As a pastor, I have seen this story played out so many times. People from the most horrific of backgrounds and upbringings taking charge of their own lives and allowing God to bring a beautiful future out of the ashes of a broken past. When we stop blaming and begin to take responsibility for our lives, we are empowered to make positive choices. And then we begin to chart a course with God for a future that can look so different from our past. The first way is to simply acknowledge that you're responsible for what you do. If you make a mistake, acknowledge it. Don't deny it. Don't blame others. This is an easy thing to say, but we all know it's a very hard thing to do. A mature person takes ownership for their lives. A mature person takes responsibility. A mature person doesn't blame, they set a course for their own future with God. I believe in this hour and this season, God is wanting to grow us up emotionally, girls, and He's with us every step of the way. And not only do we have our Heavenly Father, we have our girlfriends to keep us accountable. I'm so glad you came out tonight. We love you. You're going to love hearing from your campus pastors. Have the most amazing night celebrating, learning, and leaning into God. Love you, ladies.